This message is part of the educational ministry of Columbia International University. We've been preparing world Christians to know Him and to make Him known since 1923.
Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank You for this day in which we've never seen before. We too can testify that we never would have made it without You. Thank You for Your guiding hand and Your protection in our lives. Father, as I come now to discuss Your word, I pray that it's not my word, but it's Your word, God, that we may find solace in it, Father, that You may instruct us, that You may teach us all that we need to know. We love You. We thank You. We magnify Your name. For it's in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. I was sitting in a Jack in the Box late September in Dallas, Texas. I was a new seminary student, having graduated here from Columbia International University. And I was complaining to one of the then graduating, what we call seniors at Dallas Theological Seminary. And I was complaining to him about the workload at the seminary, that it was just too much. It was too hard. It was too rigid. It was too frigid, that I was tired of it. And it seems like everybody thinks that they're the only class that I'm taking this semester. And I just complain, and this upperclassman seminarian enjoying his milkshake and working on a Hebrew exegetical look back at me. He said, "Well, son, if you don't like it, Southwestern is over in Fort Worth. You can go to another seminary. You don't have to stay here, because this place is made for those who understand hardships, those that can endure, and those that can last." His words have stuck with me to this day, that if you're going to complain, quit, give up. It gets easier the next time. Let it go, because you're not ready to handle the endurance that it calls for. As we look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, we have the complete picture of the believer. And this morning I thought I would just take a moment and talk about discipleship. As we get ready for our Thanksgiving break, get ready for the holidays, maybe some of you all are feeling sweat and pain, maybe the hardship of being a student here at Columbia International University. Maybe your classes have become tough. Maybe you didn't realize you had all the assignments that you have due, and maybe it's not going to be a break next week. Maybe it's going to be just simply catching up with assignments. Maybe catching up with some studies that you need to catch up with. But why are you having to catch up, and why are you on this break? I want you to remember there's a complete picture that we're dealing with as it relates to discipleship. Because I want you to know this morning, it's easy to be a Christian. It's easier to be a Christian than to become a disciple. God's word in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 7, here's what it reads. "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses. Commit these things to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things." The word of God for the people of God. Remember this, it is easier to be a Christian than it is to become a disciple. It's easier to be a Christian than it is to become a disciple. Just notice our contemporary culture, who's calling themselves Christians now. Entertainers who live godless lives. As they win awards, they refer to God and they call themselves Christians. Athletes who live immoral lives, not all, but some, most, I would add, living godless lives as they score a touchdown, give God praise, but there's no lifestyle to back it up. There's even people in our churches who come because going to church is right on Sunday morning, especially in South Carolina. And as they come to church, they give God praise and they know the songs of Zion. And it has become easy for them to be what I call a cultural Christian, but to not be a disciple. And I'm just wondering, is there anyone in here today? Maybe you've advanced to study here in the Bible college or in the seminary. And I erased those two words, Dr. Jones, before I get in trouble. Maybe here at Columbia International University. Maybe you've come to study here, and maybe you found it a whole lot easier to be a Christian than it is to become a disciple. Because becoming a disciple takes hard work. I appreciate what he says here. As Paul writes from a prison, maybe this is his last epistle. This is his last time communicating with his dear beloved son, Timothy. And here's these words. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be strong in that divine enablement that only comes from the Lord. Not being strong in your own power, but being strong in his power. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. I love the tenderness in which Paul speaks to his young protege by calling him son, that endearing title. But he says, commit these things which you've heard from me and from many witnesses. Commit these things to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. This has been commonly known as the ministry of multiplication. You see, teaching God's word isn't for the lazy. Learning God's word isn't for the lazy. And isn't for those who don't like to study or be diligent or resilient to the test. You know, it takes strength to teach and to study the word of God. It takes strength to live the word of God. So between learning it, living it, and teaching it, it takes a lot of work. And what Paul tells his young protege, his son, his beloved disciple, that, hey, commit this word not to the lazy, not to the complainers, but to those who are faithful. A question on the floor I'd have to ask you this morning. I'd have to ask myself, are you faithful? Are you worthy to receive such a great word from the Lord? You see, the ability to study, to understand, and to teach the word of God is a gift of God's grace. It's a gift of God's grace. That's why he tells them in verse 1 to be strong in the grace that is in Jesus Christ, in Christ Jesus. You see, often people test the modern day teacher and preacher on their popularity. They measure them by their education. What school did you graduate from? What skill set do you have to offer when you transcend to the pulpit? But we ought not test them by their popularity, by their education, and by their skill. We should test them by the word of God to see whether or not they're being faithful. To see whether or not they're being faithful to God's grace. And I love this verse in 2 here. And the things which you've heard from me. You see, a lot of people take the time to examine Paul to see whether or not Paul is correct. But the problem is they never take the time to see whether or not Paul is telling them whether or not they're correct. You see, discipleship, my brothers and sisters, isn't based just on God's faithfulness, but it's based on our faithfulness as well. And this morning, I remember something they used to always say around CIU and other places that I've studied. You can tell a Columbia man, but you can't tell him much. Is that you this morning? We can tell a Columbia man, but you can't tell him much. You see, as we allow the grace of our Lord to work in our lives, and as we learn God's word and live God's word and teach God's word, we should become a magnet for others that are faithful to God, that want to learn of the Lord and want to grow in the richness of God's grace. Here, Paul gives three illustrations to Timothy. Actually, there are more than three, but I can only handle three. In our setting this morning, if Dr. Jones would extend chapel to an hour, I'd be glad to go over every illustration here. But since he's not giving me that grace this morning, I will just go over three of these illustrations. The first illustration is found in verse 3, where he says, "You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Verse 3, I think the thing that we should all be willing to circle is that whole idea of enduring hardship. You see, teaching God's word is not a soft job. It's not an easy job. It's not a job for the faint at heart. As a pastor and as a preacher, sometimes I've had family members to kind of rag on me that the only thing that I do is get up on 30 minutes on Sunday morning and just rattle a few words and people clap and that's the end of the story. But they never see the preparation and the prayer and the Bible study that comes into making that moment happen. They never see the spiritual warfare that takes place as you're trying to prepare for that moment. You see, a call to teach God's word, to preach God's word, is not a call to a Sunday school picnic, but it's a call to spiritual warfare. And if you've ever had the chance to teach God's word, things won't go right sometime. And that's because we're soldiers. It's not supposed to go well. The enemy is always on his job. It will never be easy. Well, here's what Paul tells Timothy. And notice, he's telling this from prison. To endure it as a good soldier. To endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You know, Paul is writing from prison, but you can't help but to think about Jesus and what he endured. He endured the cross. He endured the suffering and the shame for my benefit and for your benefit. And if Jesus could do it as God's beloved son, and if Paul could do it as he writes from prison, how much more should we be able to do as we write from comfortable seats here this morning, as we study God's word here at Columbia International University? But it not only tells him to endure hardship as this good soldier of Christ Jesus, but notice in verse 4, he also says no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life. I look at that picture that's behind me this morning of this soldier. He has on his gear. He has his weapon in hand. Every once in a while, I like to read Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 18. Put on the full armor of Christ. Put on the whole armor of Christ. Because no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs in this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a good soldier. As a good soldier. This wartime soldier, he has his gear on. He avoids worldly entanglement. He's committed to his commanding officer here in verse 4, to the one who enlisted him. And in our case, the one that enlisted us is Jesus Christ. And Paul says, be committed to him. Be committed to him. I know sometimes for those who will teach God's word and who will preach God's word, it's necessary for them to get outside employment, such as a pastor being bivocational. But never do anything that will distract you from God's word. I have a friend that graduated from CIU a few years ago. And while a student here at CIU, he was almost done. He came to me one day. He said, Pastor, he said, I want to meet with you about something. And I said, okay, well, close the door. Let's meet. He said, I got a great deal on some knives. I said, some knives? He said, yeah, these stainless steel knives. You can get them for a discount. They're cheap, and they're durable, and they'll last to the end. I said, what are you in school for? He said, well, I'm studying ministry. I said, well, why are you selling knives? And he said, because I need a job. I said, if I help you find a job in ministry, would you put this knife thing down? Because I'd hate for you to be preaching one Sunday morning and say, I'm done with my sermon, but if anybody wants to buy a knife, meet me in the fellowship hall after church. You see, we ought not get involved, entangled in the things that trap us so easily. I had a friend that graduated from Columbia National University with me back in the 90s. And as he graduated, I mean, he was one of God's finest preachers here at CIU. Got him a small church, had a wife, 5 children, and it became kind of tough to support his family. So he decided to sell insurance. But the problem was he became too good at selling insurance. And it began to draw his heart away from God's word and leading God's people. His wife began to drop hints that maybe you should give up selling insurance. He said, I can't do that. I'm the salesman of the month. I can't do that because I'm enjoying the benefits too much. She complained about him being away from home too much. After a while, his leaders in his church began to tell him, you're spending too much time talking about insurance and not enough time in prayer and with God's word. You need to make up your mind whether you want to sell insurance or spend time in God's word and in prayer. He said, I'll get right back with you. He decided to sell insurance because with selling insurance, he was able to change his dress and his address. You see, the deceitfulness of riches led him away from his wife and his 5 children. Brothers and sisters, a wartime soldier will never get involved, entangled in affairs of this world. And that's not the only illustration that he uses here. It's not only the wartime soldier, but the second illustration is that of the athlete. I'm imagining myself being one of these runners on the PowerPoint here. Well, I keep going on then. Y'all didn't say amen. Okay, here it is. And if anyone who competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rule. Paul likes to deal with athletic illustrations such as wrestling, such as boxing, such as running, such as exercising. And maybe he's a lover of the Olympics, of the Olympic Games. But things that kind of draw my attention here is that as we play in the games, we compete to win. We play to win so that we'll get that crown. But the thing I want to point out to you as it relates to discipleship, one must know the rules. He cannot get the crown unless he competes according to the rules. Unless he competes according to the rules. For so many, they've lost sense of the rules, maybe in their teaching or their preaching ministry. And I just want to make sure you know the rules here. Not just the community rules in which we live by here, but do you know God's rules this morning? A lot of people are talking about justice these days, but nothing about righteousness, nothing about holiness, nothing about the rules of our Lord Jesus Christ. To endure that hardship, to know the rules, to be that good athlete that knows how to compete by the rules. Paul, at least for me, gives a commentary of this in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, as he reminds at the latter section of that pericope there, he reminds us that, hey, if one doesn't play by the rules, if he doesn't compete by the rules, at the end, after he announces it to everyone else, that he himself may be disqualified. I pray that we're not raising up heady folks here without hearty folks here. I pray that we're not raising heady folks without hearty folks. Yet your head is getting this big and your heart is getting this small. And it shows up in your hands. I pray, my prayer is for us here, that as we grow in discipleship, that as our heads get bigger, as we learn more about God, as we learn more theology, as we learn more about God, that our hearts follow suit. And it shows up in our hands. My brother graduated from Ben Lippin High School. Ben Lippin, right on our campus. And I remember on one occasion, he called my father. He was a football player. And he called my father. He said, "It's tough. It's hard playing football here." And he says, "I think I'm going to quit." And my father said, "Okay, you can quit. Come on home." He said, "You know, quitting gets easier every time you do it. It gets a lot easier and a lot lighter. So go ahead and quit. So in the next time you face something pretty difficult and pretty hard, you can quit that too." And my brother said, "What you talking about?" He said, "Yeah, go ahead and quit." He said, "Because quitters are losers. They're not winners. They're losers. So go ahead and quit. It's difficult now, so quit. It's hard, so quit. You can just turn in your jersey, turn in your helmet, tell them you're a loser, and tell them you want to quit." My brother said, "I'm not a quitter. I'm not a loser." He said, "Yes, you are, because you can't endure hard times. You can't keep the rules. You don't even know the rules of the game. You don't have football in your heart. You don't have a passion. It gets easier. Just quit." My brother said, "Who are you talking to? I'm not a quitter. I'm not a loser. I'm going to stay on the team." And you know, my brother stayed on the football team. And became one of the best football players that Ben Lippin had ever seen. Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, we ought not quit because it's hard. Hard times last, but tough times don't last, but tough people do. Are you tough enough to endure? To compete by the rules? There's another image that he uses here, not only of the soldier. By the way, that was a picture of me as the soldier there holding my... Okay, never mind. Y'all, I promise you, y'all aren't with me this morning. And then the second thing there, the athlete, I'm the black guy that was in the picture. But anyway, there's a third image that's used. Okay, Dr. Jones, there's a third image that's used here. It's that of the farmer, of the hard-working farmer. Notice the picture. This brother's contemplating what has to happen. This California farmer. Notice here in the scriptures, it says the hard-working farmer must first partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. This farmer, brothers and sisters, a farmer has to work. A farmer has to work. Oftentimes, they have to get up early in the morning. Because if a field is left to itself, the only thing it will produce is weeds. And I'm wondering, as it relates to your discipleship, what have you been producing lately? Has it been a good word, or has it been a lot of weeds? How's your time with the Lord in the morning? Is it weedy? And that's not whole wheat there. That's weeds. Or is it meaty in God's word? You see, ministry takes work. Taking time in God's word takes work. You see, for this hard-working farmer, and being a farmer by itself is hard work, but notice it's called the hard-working farmer. He needs a whole lot of patience. I heard Warren Wiersbe say this on one occasion, that the harvest is not at the end of a meeting, but at the end of an age. Is there anyone discouraged this morning? Maybe you think the harvest is not coming in quick enough. Maybe you've been sharing your faith, but people hadn't been changing fast enough. It takes patience to be a hardworking farmer. Stick with it. That patience will pay off in the end. But not only is it a lot of work, and not only does he need patience, but a farmer deserves his share of the crop. There'll be a lot of disappointments along the way, but the rewards make it worth it all. But the rewards make it worth it all. Well, he tells us here in verse 6, the hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say. Consider what I've said. And may the Lord give you understanding in all things. Maybe it's tough right now, and you need understanding. Maybe it's hard right now, and you need understanding. Maybe you think being here isn't worth it because you don't see any fruit right now. It's worth it. Maybe you don't think you have the strength to go on. Don't draw from your strength. Draw from his strength, the grace of our God. Draw from his strength. And maybe you see yourself as an athlete this morning. Maybe you see yourself as a soldier. Maybe you see yourself with your overalls on and being a farmer. I was sitting at Jack in the Box, and I told this upperclassman, I want to quit. He said, go ahead. Southwestern is next door. They'll take you. It's easier over there. I found in my own resolve, I don't like easy. No pain, no gain. God bless you.
We hope you were blessed by this message. Additional audio messages and learning resources are available at www.ciu.edu/bookstore or call 803-807-5263. Messages are also available by podcast at iTunes. CIU is a regionally accredited biblical university offering undergraduate and graduate degree programs. Our purpose is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for letting us minister to you today.